Morning, I'd like to call the January 14, 2010 City of Daytona Beach Code Enforcement Board meeting to order, please. Madam Secretary, would you call the roll?
Mr. Brown?
Here.
Ms. Hines, not present. Dr. Vanaman?
Here.
Mr. Bourne is not here. Mr. Jones is not here. Mr. Harrington?
Here.
Mr. Stevens?
Here.
And Mr. Bourne did call and say he was going to be late this morning. He had a scheduling conflict with court.
And again, for the record, Ms. Hines is having an issue with her back, so she won't be here at all.
Did they make it with Bond's excused absence?
Yes.
Okay.
Have all members of the court board had the opportunity to review the minutes? Are there any changes, amendments, corrections?
I have a motion to approve acceptance of an amendment.
With one amendment. If I may.
An amendment.
I'm just trying to find it. There was a case, Amy, where I accused myself.
Yeah.
Right. That was the first one. And actually 6-0.
Oh, okay.
And I'll ask about that because that same case is going to come up. I think the bank has taken ownership, so I don't believe it's necessary to recuse myself anymore from that particular case. But that was the only change that I
did. You recuse yourself, we don't have a quorum.
No, I won't have to.
Yeah.
For that particular case.
I'll make that correction.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Are there any questions, comments by any members of the board? Motion to approve the December 10, 2009 minutes. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Madam Secretary, would you swear in all members of city staff who will be testifying?
You solemnly swear the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I'd like to ask all members of the public who will be coming forward to testify, who may be in the audience at this time, to please put your cell phones on either the silent mode or vibrate mode. And when you come forward to the podium, please raise your right hand and be sworn. Okay. First case is case number CEB 0505215, the Masonic Lodge. We're here for a progress report.
Mr. Stevens, Michael Mitchell's on his way up.
Thank you.
Okay. Members of the board, we're here for a progress report. I've gone by and taken some updated photographs for you that I think are coming up here. It's kind of been painted a little bit more and fixed up a little bit more. Michael's supposed to be up here in a minute to tell you, well, here, come on, Mike. And he'll tell you more about the progress as far as his grant and how things are going. However, I mentioned to you several meetings back when I was looking for the possibility of starting to find that I have had neighbors who are complaining, and there's a neighbor here today who wishes to testify, maybe after Michael has given you his progress report.
Okay, great, thanks.
Is that the testimony
about to provide? Is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Yes, ma'am. Good morning. How you doing this morning? Happy New Year to
good morning.
To each and every one of you. Good to see you. My report for this morning is that Buckle was by grant, and that's supposed to be going up this month. But you know, last time we was here, we done painted the building. We've been keeping the lawn up and everything around the building. So and that's about it for the report. I think they got a picture of the paint and everything that had been done to the building. Of course, my lineman is keeping everything up and going, and we go by periodically to check the building to make sure that the windows and everything is staying secured until we can get through this grant process.
Michael, a question. Is that building on the National Register of Historic Places?
Yes, it is.
Is it on the city's protected?
Yes,
is it contributing structure and structure in the cities?
According to Mr. Bryan, it is, yes.
Thank you.
Again, I'll have to concede the same moment for what Mr. Bryan has said to me it is. I also wanted to bring up that we received a call asking me to go by, and the city, Mr. Criswell, would you talked to before, the building inspector, is the building safe? And it has been shored up, and that engineer is, as you guys recall, engineers have been in here and told you what they were going to do with this building. So it is safe as far as the building official is concerned. I did hear some comments you must get to swear and give your name.
Yeah, Tom Rauscher. 509 South Street is the property that I own.
Do you solemnly swear to testimony about the price, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Can you say your name again, please, sir?
Tom Rauscher, Rauscher.
Thank you.
For the record, I'd like to note that Mr. Barnes has arrived.
I just have one question for Mike here. Now, I talked to him years ago, probably 4 years ago. How long they've owned this building?
Mr. President, how long I own the building and has nothing to do with it. Irrelevant. I'm here because of a cold environment. I'm not here to entertain how long I own the building, whether I'm in charge of it. If I'm maintaining where I put it, maintaining with the cold enforcement, that's the only question I'm going to answer today. I done went over all that with him before. I'm not down to that tune again.
Well, the point is, I know that personally, it's been 5 years or so. He told me March, I think, 06 or something like that, he's going to get a grant and have something done on it. The point is, they've had maybe 2 half-days of work on this place. They're the owners of it. That does no justice. You need a close-up. All those boards are rotten. The windows are broken in the back. There's plumbing sticking out in the back. I mean, it's an eyesore, and it is degradation to the whole property, and it brings down everybody that wants to do something in the neighborhood. Why should they? Because that's what they got to look at. Now, if they've had it, my point is, if they had it 5 years that I know of, 10 years, they can't replace some windows. Doors, siding, whatever, you know. Painting over that mess has not done anything. If you look at it closer, oh yeah, it looks a little better because it's white and blue. The second point is, it is a structural hazard. It's an unsafe structure. It should be deemed so. I think there's laws pertaining to that, if I'm not mistaken. In other towns, it's perfectly adequate to say it's an unsafe structure. You have to tear it down. Now, they have protection under the Historic Building Act, whatever, but, well, that didn't fly in Port Orange. They tore down the motel down there, the hotel. Nobody was willing to spend the money on it. Evidently, nobody's willing to spend the money on this.
Just for city, for us, we can't speak to what happens in Port Orange and their ordinances because we're under a different body and have to abide by the rules of this particular body.
Mr. President, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, everything we've been asked to do, we've been in compliance. 5 years ago, almost 3 years, 4 years ago, we put a new roof on the building. And we've been working diligently with Tallahassee for the grant that's concerned. To be honest with you, he just a thorn in my side. Everything that we've been doing, we've been asked to do, we have been in compliance with it. Why he wants to pick on this particular building, I don't know. Really don't care, because I know my building, and I know it's a safe structure, Mr. President. Whatever you instructed us to do, we would do that with no hesitation. If you instructed me today to go take those old ones down, put new ones up, he's going to come back with something there. So we took the back off of it like we were told to do. Yes, there may be some plumbing, but it's not nothing that the only person to sew out to is the one that's going to sit there and look at it. Now, if you want to sit there and look at it, then maybe it'll show out to you. But anything you ask me to do, we have been in compliance, sir.
Does that building belong to, it belongs to the lodge, right?
It does belong to the lodge.
It doesn't belong to an individual, it belongs to the lodge.
To the lodge, yes, sir.
Supplies number 36.
Right. And Mark, I have a question. At the workshop, it was brought forward that once a building is secured to city standards, it's considered in compliance.
The property itself is not quite 100% in compliance.
What would it take to get that in compliance being secured to city standards?
The housing report that was filled out on the original date of this incident indicates exactly all these elements that need to be taken care of, which the engineer addressed back in 2006 that they were going to do. And they started on it by doing the roof, if you recall. And they're shoring up some of those things, some of those exterior walls and supports. There are other checklists on here that need to be completed as far as the exterior of the building and its compliance. Yes, boarding it up it meets that criteria of being secure, as we've all said here at the board, secure the building. And that's what I asked Michael to do some time back, and they did. In addition to that, they took down their unsafe stairs and a lot of
right.
Things they've done. So pretty much it to say that it's in compliance now is not correct, because there are still some outstanding violations on it.
And if I may, we're talking about the exterior only.
Well, right.
Have you informed Mike of what those, if you could do those, then the building would be in compliance, even though the inside is not done. It would be in compliance under secured status until he gets his grant, and he'd be through with us for a while.
And only would that going to come into totally compliant with market after me, it's going to be done through the grant. I can't do anything other
than
that.
Yeah, but a lot of that's interior stuff.
Right.
You don't
that's
have to
point.
Do to get into compliance.
That's my point. In order to the rest of that checklist, it has to do with the grant to come into compliance. But that interior stuff, all the out interior that he's asked me and you have asked me to have done, we have done that. We've done it. Anything else, nothing, right? And not only that, but we went to the scaffolding plate. We went to the scaffolding plate inside. If you go in there now, we got the walls secure where the building won't move or anything. So we have done everything that we can to bring this building into compliance or to make everyone happy with the building. Thank you, Mr. President.
You're welcome. Tom.
If I could just speak to Mr. Bamberg's concerns, I am 100% for the building being seen as in compliance, and that's been done with this has been years. However, our fear that would be creating a slippery slope that we really don't want to create. Historically, and I think it's been the mindset of the board that a property, when you enter it and you find a non-compliance, the nature of which its use or its intended use is what you're trying to comply to. Ultimately, they plan to use this, occupy it, and have the internal use as well as the external use. If we start allowing people to just clean up the outside and ignore the inside, as part of declaring it in compliance, then we really slice almost every case, especially commercial cases, once we say secure.
But we've done that all over the city, according to what happened at the workshop.
Well, no, we haven't. We secure buildings, but the securing of, and I know we're kind of pulling ourselves out of this meeting, but the securing of buildings that have been done, the ones that have come into compliance have come into compliance because they've complied with whatever those
okay.
Requirements were.
I'll back off.
When is the grant going to be filed, Mike?
I'm sorry, sir?
When is the grant going to be submitted to Tallahassee?
It's supposed to go up this month, sir. Under that date, I don't have that date right with me right now, but it's supposed to go up this month, and I can get that for you.
Maybe we could bring it back the next month or the month after and make sure the grant's submitted. If the grant's not submitted, it's going to be another year.
And that's the point that I'm still trying to make. Even if the grant goes up in January, the board probably won't meet until March or April. The money probably won't be dispatched until sometime next year. So we're still going to be where we're at. And one thing that I need the board and everyone to understand and to include Mr. Jackson is that since then we have never been in the building. The building is completely secured, and we do not plan on operating that building until the renovation and everything is done, and of course the city comes back out there and do their part. But once we go back in that building, it's going to be ready for us to go in there, operate, and do the thing that for the vision that I have for that building, which is to open up to the community and do some community activity in that area because there is a lot of kids in that area that need some attention too. But as far as the building being utilized, I'm totally in agreement with you, Mr. Jackson. That building is not in the condition for us to operate in it, and we have not been in there since then. I don't plan on going in until the mission is accomplished. But the only thing I'm going to come in here, every time I come every month, is to give you this report that I'm going to get, that I'm giving you today, because I can't do anything else unless one of you is going to give me $1 million so we can start up from now and quit. Other than that, I'm going to continue to come and stand and say, I'm still working with Tallahassee, still trying to get what you're asking me to do. Thank you again.
Michael, I'd like to ask, have you all secured any monies from any grant? Because this has been going on for a while, and you all have applied or intended to apply for certain grants.
Redevelopment have awarded us some money contingent upon Tallahassee. We've been getting the grant that we need, but everything is contingent upon Tallahassee. And if Tallahassee, because we have matching grants, if you're aware of those. And so, you know, city redevelopment has given us an amount of dollars that we have wrote the other grant to match that. Because I asked her to write this grant so that when we start this time, I want to go from start to finish.
Yeah. And the other question is, and it has been asked before in previous meetings, have you all explored any other options besides trying to secure grants from the
Yes, sir. There were, a matter of fact, one of my secretary, matter of fact, he should be in a meeting this afternoon. And I just got an email on there's a grant writing class that's coming up now, and we have to attend in order to be able to award some grants on that one. But my secretary is going to be sitting in that class, and that's from 3 to 5 on this afternoon. So we're still doing everything and not really trying to depend totally on Tallahassee to try to get something else done to the building. Or anything, something someone sent to me for a grant, I mentioned that one of the brethren is present to try to see what we can do to help expedite this procedure, President.
Okay. Now, having someone present, having someone write the grant and actually try to secure one is totally different.
Of course. You and I both know that, sir.
Mark, I'd like to ask you, you've mentioned previously that you think maybe a fine would be in order. What would be your thoughts on that?
We entertained that several months back, starting a very small fine. Mm-hmm. And we all know we could go back to eliminate or reduce whatever the board considers later on to get this out of this realm until we did get the building complete. The board at that time decided against it. I'm still open to that. I'll be honest with you. Is it going to accomplish anything short of having it removed from the board from 3 months to 3 months to 3 months? No, it's not. Is it going to help Stewart? No, it is not. It's not going to help Michael either, but the circumstances would be is that it would just basically keep it off the agenda until such time as it came into compliance. And I suggested that, and I was not allowed. Now, I have to admit now, and Michael and I were familiar with this, that we got some time back. We are off of this agenda, the phase one, phase two. We are off of that. And that's when I brought it to your attention. We no longer are in the phase one, phase two, phase three. We've kind of missed it because of some issues. But they did start with phase one, and that was the root of some of those issues, and shoring up the building. Mm-hmm. So that part is the only successful part that we have. And I have confirmed through redevelopment that the grants are still in the work. It's not that nobody is sitting around not doing anything. That is not the case. Certainly not Michael and his staff. Mm-hmm. So it's up to the board what they would like to do. The city's proposed it once before, and I'll leave it to you, sir.
My concern would be the issues that Mr. Jackson brought up, and I think it is a valid point, and that if we create this slippery slope, who knows where it will take us. And I understand Dr. Bannerman's points as well. And you're right, if we impose a fine, what will we accomplish besides getting it off of the agenda? And I think Dr. Bannerman had expressed some concerns about that in the past, and I think he probably still would. But I would do whatever the board would like to do. So I'll wait to hear what the members of the board would suggest or the action they would like to take. But we do need to move along on this one.
Okay, my first point was he's had so much time to take care of these things, to make improvements on themselves. The Masonic institution, I think, is founded on building or whatever. Now, there's plenty of members there. There's nationwide members. I just can't understand. I'm a carpenter.
why they can't replace siding, windows, doors, something that are not evident in these pictures. There are still broken windows that haven't been boarded up. Some of those boards are flapping in the wind. That takes care of that. Now, the second thing is, I've heard about these grants. You know, I believe in living in reality. There are no grants. There will be no money as long as the economy is the way it is. And we might as well forget pie and sky. I've been hearing that for years now. So that ain't going to happen, and I got to have to look at that for another, even if you did get a grant, it'd be a year. Meanwhile, I have a brand new house across the street from this. Okay, I can't get a contract on it. The only contract I had was they looked at that and said, you fix that, they will be interested. That was before the economy tanked, okay? Now, all I have to do is look at it. My tenant has to look at it. The neighborhood has to look at it. And I have to say, if they don't have to fix anything up, why should we? I've been held accountable for the bushes that were in my front yard. They were blocking the street. A woman called. They opened up a case. I had to remove the bushes, cut them back, and maintain my house, which is usually maintained to the utmost. But across the street, I guess they're exempt. That's all I got to say.
Thank you.
Well, I would think that if there's broken windows and flapping boards, it's not secured to city standards, and we need to make sure that it gets put back to city standards.
That's accessible windows and doors, and there's the windows I think he's talking about on the backside on the second floor, but I will double check that just to make sure, sir.
I'd like to make a motion that we request the respondent to return to the board. Amy, I don't have the yard duty.
February 11th.
For March or January, March 11th meeting with a progress report. In the meantime, that the building remains secure to city standards, and if there are things that are not city standards now, that it be corrected to meet those city standards so you don't have broken windows and flapping boards. And that we return for our March 11th meeting for a progress report on the status of your grants.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second.
A motion and second. Are there any additional comments or questions by members of the board?
Just want to make sure that the March 2nd meeting will give them enough time to get the application in.
March.
Oh, no, that's just a progress report.
Right.
March 11th.
March 11th.
Yeah.
When is the application due?
We'll be going
out
this month.
Okay.
Sir, something else you have to address on this building?
We have a motion and we're about to take a vote. Are there any additional comments or questions by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
I think it needs to be pointed out that since it's on the National Register and also a local contributing property, it cannot be demolished without going before the Historic Preservation Board and the City Council. So the demolition is out of the question. The only thing we do would be to bring it into compliance, and they have to have the money to bring it into compliance. So I have sympathy for the neighbor, but our hands are pretty much tied on it.
Well, I have two things.
Thank you, Mr. President, and the board. Appreciate it.
Tired looking at it, and when? That's two main questions. But in the interim, if you do look on this other side of that building, there's holes in the side that you crawl through.
They're going to take care of that. They're going to make sure it's secure to city standards. City standards, whatever that requires.
Okay, thank you.
It's a violation of everything on there.
Case number 2, CEB 040966, is in compliance as of 1-4 January 2010. It was this case that I made reference to in the minutes. It was this one. Case number 3. Case number 3, CEB 060997, Beaches Fish Camp LLC and Atlas FL, I guess it's Roman number 1, SPE LLC, 1299 South Atlantic Avenue. Is respondent present? Well, actually, we just need a progress report. And we have...
Right, basically, that's the progress report. Only thing, the two items that were concerned was, one, they retained an attorney now, and the second one, they're leaning towards the demo they were talking about. So.
Okay. Do you think they'll meet the 2 February 3rd compliance date, John?
No. Now they'll probably have to get an extension, or they're still negotiating with their people. So,
okay.
Like I said, I think they're leaning more towards a demo.
Great. Any questions by members of the board?
Yeah. They did not have a written report from you?
No, sir. This is the email. That's I think he responded to me this week.
No, I mean the condition. They did not have a list of the...
No.
When they bought a property without a list of... You don't necessarily know, but I can't imagine anybody buying it.
Well, it was basically a deed in lieu of foreclosure, so...
Okay.
They took it back.
So they have that now?
Do they have what?
That list of the violations and documentation.
Yeah, they have the list.
They have it now.
Right.
Okay. Before I move forward, I'd like to ask, are there any members of council who may be present who will be representing any respondents? Would you please come forward? One at a time. Thanks, Tom. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Good. How are you? What case are you going to speak for?
I'm number 20. 1400 South Nova Road. My name is Stephen Ponder. I'm representing Chris Buck Apartments.
Ponder.
That's case number 20. Yes.
I'm going to, just for the record, take my case number 20 so council can go on about the day.
Appreciate it, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, case number 20, CEB 011004, Ridgecrest Associates Limited Partnership. Mr. Ponder is here as the counsel for the respondent. What can you tell us, Dan?
It's actually non-compliance, and I don't want to mix that up, but I just wanted to say that they applied for the permits on the 5th and was approved on the 8th and was resumed on the 11th. I spoke to the management, and they said they were going to be moving forward on correcting all the sidewalks here and repairing them. And I also spoke with the attorney yesterday and verified.
That's private sidewalks,
Mr. Ponder.
Excuse me? No, it isn't.
So isn't the city responsible for maintaining sidewalk?
No. Within the, it's inside the complex.
They're internal.
Okay, it's an internal, so
yes.
Private property.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Would you like to make any comments, Mr. Ponder?
No, sir. I just wanted to be here if there was any questions from
the... Hey, does your client agree that the conditions existed at the time of notification?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. Chair would move that we find the respondent in noncompliance and allow the respondent until... February 3rd, 2010, to come into compliance, be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of $1,000 per day.
So moved.
We have a motion by Mr. Bourne. Is there
second.
A second? Second by Mr. Brown. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board?
I believe so.
Yeah, if not, I close the man.
I will give you contact with Mr. Garcia.
We're in
contact with him, but I believe they're in contact with the construction board.
Okay. Any questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Thank you, Mr. Ponder.
Thank you very much.
Good morning.
Good morning.
What case?
Case number 3.
We just did that. We just did case number 3.
No, we skipped it.
No, we didn't.
Oh, we did.
Right. Let's start.
Progress.
Are you with Aces?
No, this is with Sunset Harbor.
Downtown Daytona 2000. Okay, where later?
Thank you, Rob.
I think it's number 6.
Number 6. Number 6.
Number 6? Oh, I'm sorry.
You Ray and Gillespie guy?
No. Downtown Daytona.
Right.
2000.
861 Blue Road.
861 Blue Road.
Case number 6.
6.
Number 6.
That's still yours, Robert. Number 6. Let me have counsel's name.
Edwin Waldron, W-A-L-G-R-I.
We're just speaking to the mic, just for the record.
125 Ann Rustin Drive, Ormond Beach.
Case number CEB 1109200 Daytona. Downtown Daytona 2000 Incorporated, 861 Bully Road. That one's yours, Robert.
They've got the asphalt parking lot they put in without a permit, and
right.
They're working on getting a permit now. They've got to get some approvals. They've got to submit some site plans, and it's just a process, and it seems to be in progress.
Okay. Mr. Walton?
Good morning.
Good morning.
We've appeared before the downtown Ballou Road development. We've got approval of our site plan. We submitted the site plan and attachments to the city. Because of the holidays, there was a little bit of a delay in getting approvals. We anticipate getting approvals by the end of the month, but I would ask that the board hold this over until the March meeting so that we could be completed.
Robert, what are your thoughts about that?
I was just going to suggest we amend the next cutoff, and there's no reason not to have an appearance next month in case he has something new or in case he's got...
Is it secure?
It's just an empty parking
lot. Robert, what can you...
I haven't seen anybody using it.
It's an empty lot. No cars have ever been parked there.
I don't know why anybody uses it, especially if it's unpermitted.
Right.
And Mr. Walden, the inspector is asking that we amend until February 3rd and maybe have an appearance by either yourself or the respondent on the February 11th meeting. Is that something you feel you can accomplish?
No problem.
Okay.
Can I ask this, sure. Just following the concern of Mr. Sino with today's special events period, what are you doing that will keep the lot from being used?
No one has access. There is a gate across the lot.
Okay. There's no way to get hurt out there.
Right. You and us both.
Chair would entertain a motion amending our previous order and allowing the respondent until February 3rd, 2010 to come into compliance or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of $1,000 per day. In addition to that, requiring the respondent to attend our February or his counsel or their counsel to appear at our February 11th, 2010 meeting.
So moved. Second.
We have a motion and a second. Other questions?
Say that. You require him to come into compliance by February 3rd. And come to the meeting on February 10th? Is that what you're saying?
11th.
I don't understand.
Well, let's
if he comes into compliance by the 3rd, he doesn't have to come on the 10th.
Okay. With Mr. Barnes, would you withdraw?
I'll withdraw in a second.
I'll withdraw my motion.
Chair would entertain a motion requiring the respondent to come into compliance by February 3rd, 2010 and be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved. Second.
We have a motion and second. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. We've allowed you until February 3rd, Mr. Waldron, your client, to come into compliance.
Thank you very much.
All in peace. Just notify the inspector. Thank you. Are there any other members of council who may be present?
Good morning, members of the board.
How are you?
Very good.
What case are you here to represent?
Case number 5, Aaron Thompson on behalf of Brian Gillespie, Ocean Waters Landfill. Members of the board, you'll recall that we were here back in August, and should I start?
Well, for the record, let me just read the case. It's case number 5, CB08091158, Brian Gillespie, LLC. Roman numeral 54 and Ocean Waters Land Company, LLC. Steve, why don't you give us an update first?
I was hoping to put this in compliance by this meeting. They've been very cooperative. We've had a lot of work done. The demolition is complete. The only thing left is putting up the fence.
What's that?
I'm not sure. Putting up a fence and completing the grass along the perimeter edge. This is the access of 45 South Ocean, which is up by the ocean deck. It is nearly done. That's what it looks like now. Which is much nicer than that disaster structure that was standing there. So we had very good cooperation. It's actually been a very quick demolition in the scope of our process. So I'd like to amend our order till next month, and I would like to have Ms. Aaron Thompson explain why.
Ms. Thompson?
Yes. As Mr. Alderman said, we did come a very long way in a short period of time. We believe the structure is no longer there, no longer a hazard for transients and life safety issues. The remaining items are very small in nature. It is a little bit of sod and the fence. And it really comes down to just our final funding issue. Again, we have to go before our lender to get the funding, and that has been submitted. We expect it within the next few weeks. I've been told by the end of the month, but because that is something that is out of my hands, I don't want to say for sure that it will happen, but that is our expectation. We would just ask for another roll before the imposition of a fine in light of the progress that we have made.
Thank you. Are there any questions and comments from members of the board?
Is still Brain Gillespie LLC, is that still in existence?
It is not an active entity. It has been merged into the land company entity.
So Brain Gillespie, the Brain Gillespie is a misnomer then. Right? It's really Ocean Waters Land Company is the respondent on this one, not Brain Gillespie.
Right. You remember when it first came to us, it was Brain Gillespie.
Right.
And we added...
Yeah, Brain Gillespie are broken up.
Right, but yeah. That was the original when it came to
right.
us.
So they're no longer involved, so it should be just the respondent should be Ocean Waters.
Remember, we added them on because Brain Gillespie were the initial.
Yeah, so now we should take
we're
Brain Gillespie
ourselves.
Off.
It would still be a legally effective entity because it merged into land company.
Okay.
It isn't as if it completely went away.
Right.
All of the assets and liabilities merged into land company. So... How that's why we added it to be sure.
Yeah.
But it's
okay.
A legally.
I was just trying to clean it up because I know Brain Gillespie no longer exists. As
which
a,
it would be fine together, or just land company. Either would be sufficient.
Are there any additional questions or comments by members of the board?
Yes.
Is there a motion?
I would move that this case be continued to our March meeting to allow. Respond to come into compliance.
I would, before you second, why not make a compliance date of our March meeting? That would give them ample time. That gives them compliance. I would say compliance date of 2-3. Would that give you enough time? You say just have a few things to do, right?
Yes. And again, once we get the funding, then we just have to pay to get the sod and the fence put in. Shouldn't take an extreme amount of time.
Okay, so March 3rd, that gives you almost 2 months.
I think it gives us less than 30 days.
March.
Oh, I'm sorry, March. March would be excellent, yes.
I think we ought to put a compliance date. So if we just delay it, then we've got to establish a compliance date after that. If we put a compliance date now.
That was the motion, if I'm not mistaken, Dr.
No, he was going to make it.
A
30-day I thought I said that.
You said March.
Until March date to come into compliance.
You did.
Okay.
Fine as part of that, if you know.
I think we need to have a compliance on it, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or
compliant. The question I think Mr. Harrington is asking is there a, could there be consideration of imposition of a fine up to $1,000 per day if they're not in compliance by March 3rd?
I would like you phrase it that. Much better than I. Yes.
We have a motion. And Mr. Brown, did you second?
Second, yes.
We have a motion and second. Are there additional comments or question by members of the board? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign.
Is that amending to the March cutoff?
Yes.
Yes.
It's complicated, Amy.
Yeah.
Thank you, members of the board.
Thank you. Case number 4, CEB 0709133, Horace Williams. Is the respondent present? It's 322 Reba Street. No, Tom actually did come forward for case number 3 with the progress report, which was the email. And the compliance date for case number 3 is February 3rd, the cutoff, February 3rd cutoff.
We'll just bring it back in February.
Yes.
Okay. Case number 4.
Mark, what can you tell us?
Those two pictures are from yesterday. He takes one step back, or one step forward and two steps back. I have not heard from him since our last meeting, or the meeting before that. But he's doing something, and I feel bad to impose a fine. So what I'm saying here, let's amend it. He's taking care of the exterior. He's removed this mildew and grime, which is very good. But he's taken down this garage and he's just taking all the wood and throwing it down on the ground, and it's just contributing to the outside scorpions. So I can't put him in compliance. So let's just, if you wouldn't mind, he's making progress. I think that's what we've always wanted. Let's amend it to the next call.
Is this the older gentleman, Mark, that came in?
The gentleman who lives down in South Florida, who didn't even know there was somebody living in there. And to my knowledge, I checked yesterday, it is secure. I didn't see anybody inside or anybody being inside. But These are pictures, like I said, from yesterday.
Does he have a sign out front that says, "Save Our Home"?
Yeah. I'll leave that one alone. Amend to the next cutoff.
Chair would entertain a motion amending our previous order and allowing the respondent until February 3rd, 2010 to come into compliance, be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of $1,000 per day.
So moved. Second.
We have a motion by Mr. Brown, second by Mr. Bourne. Is there any questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. We have disposed of case number 5. We've also disposed of case number 6. Case number 7, CEB 1109202, Michael Hoffman, 132 Westwood Drive. Is the respondent present?
That's in compliance January 13th.
Okay, thanks, Dana. Case number 8, CEB 1109209, MG Beach Street Investments Company and the Florida Dream Team LLC, DBA Jesse Black Saloon. That's 200 South Beach Street. Is the respondent present? He's here for a progress report.
Captain Mayo, 903 Golden Drive, Warren Beach.
Morning.
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 You want the bad news or the bad news? Our Ford Dream Team LLC has backed out. He is gone. He has walked away from this because of the prior business owner, not property owner, who messed things up and he had to back out. So he's gone. I talked to him 2 days ago. He is withdrawn. I don't know how we can do that Tony can advise as far as leaving it on the agenda here as a responder. But we're back to the property owner, and Mr. DeMeo, I can assure you, does represent the property owner and what they're going to do to remedy this situation.
Based on what Mr. Ellison just said, when that tenant who appeared before you last month left the premises, he also took a lot of stuff with him. And I met with Mr. Criswell last Friday. David Leet, who's our architect, talked to him yesterday. We've got a plan in order to get the violations taken care of, which have been minimized down to one for the building itself. The signage that was on the structure has been removed, so that visibility is gone. Mr. Criswell indicated that he felt that because this has to go before the, I guess it's the Ballou Redevelopment Board or whatever, downtown, that it's going to take an extended period of time, and he's not quite sure how long that's going to take. As far as the submittal of the permit is concerned, the design should be completed of the repair for the violation by the middle of next week. The permits are all filled out. They'll be submitted as soon as we get that little drawing. So I'm assuming by the end of next week we will be into the city with a legitimate permit.
Well, that's none of that is on this violation. This violation is just the sign.
No, I think it's and more than
erecting a sign, no permit, ordering property without a permit.
Offering the property.
Okay, ordering property, yes. Yeah. Okay.
Let me interject a little bit. We have a compliance date of February 3rd, and I have no problems extending this on into March. It's progress is what we want. Progress is what we're getting now. Cool. So that would be my original recommendation, but I'm not sure. I'm going to have to touch base with Colleen Miles, the zoning officer, but there's the signs in the windows and so on and so forth. There's a few other little things that have to be removed that I'll touch base with Mr. DeMeo on. So it's not quite 100% as far as everything. And it is my understanding from the inside, from what Mark and him talked about, it's going to be easily rectified. But the building will not be able to be occupied for some time because of these issues that this last occupant who left did to the property. As far as the downtown board, I don't know. It has to go before the downtown. That's not my. I don't know what happened.
Just
no historic preservation.
Oh, is that it? Okay.
Just unless you want to put a new sign up, that's all.
Well, nobody's going to do anything on this site until we get this problem straightened out.
So specifically, it has to go before the historic preservation,
right,
of the downtown board.
That's correct. And when do they meet? Does anyone know?
They met last night.
Okay.
So it'll be a month from tonight.
Another month.
Last night.
You think, Mark, do you?
Back over here.
you're meeting with Historic Preservation.
No, that was Peabody met last night. Historic.
Yeah, they haven't met, but I think they meet next.
They'll meet next week.
Next Tuesday.
Tuesday, I think. Yeah.
We could extend it again, but let's just say for right now, then compliance date to March, because I don't think he's going to be able to do it in this short period of time. Get the meeting, get everything done. So.
Right. That would be my concern as well.
Yeah. Sure.
Chair would entertain a motion to amend our previous order and allow the respondent until March 3rd, 2010 to come into compliance, be returned to the board for consideration of a fine. And Tony, do we need to withdraw the previous respondent, Florida Dream Team LLC?
Well, I think you probably
move them.
With Charlie and Charlie's thoughts on that.
Yeah, I think at this point they're no longer a tenant.
Okay.
Your Beach Street Investments, that's
who I'm representing, yes.
You might as well remove them.
Okay.
Legally, they haven't been removed from the lease roll as yet. I don't know if it's still appropriate.
Well, we can wait.
We can wait, yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
So moved.
Second. Okay, we have a motion and a second. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you. Case number 9, CEB 1209213, Sherry Ann Bonin, 1293 Bel Air Drive. Is the respondent here?
Apparently not, no.
Come on, again, Steve.
Okay, members of the board, I found this one on 1023 initially. It's been a stagnant pool that has been going on for previous NOV, same thing about a year ago. It was fixed and just for the period of time while I was there, and then it's been since that time stagnant. I posted at 1026. Also on inspection 1117, found that the fence that had been dropped down on the ground had been stood up. So when we brought it in last month, we actually had a ability to go repair the fence. Well, I went out yesterday and the fence is back down on the ground again, so we're going to have to take care of that as well. CB issued 1117, letter returned 12-1. And since then, I've had no contact and no improvement, no progress whatsoever. So the city would like to ask for a $100 day per day fine with a cap of $20,000.
Hey, Steve, it looks like someone did sign for a certified letter on 1124.
Not mine. I think it was the one that came from our legal department.
Okay.
Steve, is this property occupied?
No, sir.
Last time we suggested the city secure the pool.
Correct.
Did they?
No, sir. The fence was stood up. I did not send the letter in, which was my mistake, and I went out yesterday and it was down on the ground, so that will be taken care of today. And it's just a matter of putting four screws in the fence, which is really kind of frustrating. I also know that the property owner has been talked to by the real estate agency, which is Exit Realty. I contacted them the same day I was out there. They had verbal contact with her. The neighbor had verbal contact with her. I know she's aware. The posting has been removed off the door. So the only thing that has happened is no contact, no progress. Okay. And the front yard was mowed and the fence was stood up.
And Chair would entertain a motion. Again, found and responded in non-compliance and imposing a fine of $100 per day effective today. Steve?
Sure.
Effective today, January 14, 2010. And continuing until such time with a maximum amount of $20,000 per the request of the inspector, and allowing the city to secure the property to city standards.
Requesting the city.
Requesting that the city secure the property to city standards. There's such a motion.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Okay, case number 10, CEB 1209215, Karen Gaynor, 800 Derbyshire Road. Respondent present. Gaynor,
hi.
How are you?
Good, thank you.
Happy New Year.
Same to you.
What can you tell us?
They're actually scheduled for their inspection today at 11, so I'd like to amend it to next cutoff.
Okay. Chair would entertain a motion amending our previous order and allowing the respondent until February 3rd, 2010 to come into compliance be returned to the board for consideration of a one-time administrative fee of $250. Is there such a motion?
So moved. Second.
Second. Motion by Mr. Brown, second by Mr. Barnes.
Can I ask Vicki a question on that? He's had a month. What's the delay in obtaining an occupational license for a month?
An out-of-town owner and a local management company, and there was some miscommunication. The owner thought that the management company had done it, and the management company thought that the owner had done it.
They must have had a month before we got it, and then we gave them another month.
And some dragging of feet in there also. But we're almost there, 11 o'clock today, hopefully. I mean, scheduled for 11 o'clock today, whether it passes or not, I don't know.
Okay.
Are there any additional comments or questions by members of the board?
I would have thought we'd do a fine certain for two-thirds, but that's okay.
It's a rental. We can only do
too late now.
$50 fee. And if they're not in compliance by February 3rd, it will be a $250 fee.
Yeah.
Are there any additional comments or questions by members of the board? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Case number 11, CEB 1209217 is in compliance as of 12-17-09. Case number 12, CEB 1209221, Edgar Salami, 261 Gold Drive South. Is the respondent here?
No.
Okay, Dan.
This property is still in non-compliance. It's exactly the way you see it. The city would like to impose a fine of $25.
Right. Okay.
How much?
$25 a day.
Have to we a been maximum able? Of.
Excuse me?
To a maximum of. Remember at the workshop with the city council, they suggested we put a maximum on fines.
Oh, are you talking about the cap?
Cap.
Yeah.
Yes.
They suggested it. It's up to us.
$20,000.
Okay.
Chair would entertain a motion imposing a fine of $25 per day with a cap of or maximum amount of $20,000 to be imposed on the property effective January 14, 2010. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion by Mr. Harrington, second by Mr. Brown. Are there any comments or questions by members of the board?
Has he been notified personally?
They have had notices posted on the door.
Just postings.
And sent certified mail. They have come back. They have been posted again. And no word.
So to your knowledge, he has not personally received the notification?
Right.
Certified was returned and just posted.
That's correct.
Yeah. Again, is the property occupied?
No,
it isn't. This is the one that they abandoned, and neighbors, I spoke to the neighbors, and neighbors said that they put all the stuff in the U-Haul. They took off.
Okay.
I have no idea.
He's got a mortgage, or do you
Excuse
know if he's got
me?
A mortgage?
Yes, if I can.
There is a list pending.
There's indication of list pending. It is a foreclosure.
It's the beginning process of
foreclosure. So they initiated foreclosure. It appears from what you're describing that the owners must have abandoned it.
Correct.
Due to the foreclosure.
Right.
And hopefully, as we're working through our progress and putting together the procedures under the vacancy,
Okay. Now, if they do foreclose, since we're just putting, we're not putting a lien on now, we're charging them a fine. If they do foreclose, we won't be able to collect that, right? Only if you put a lien on the property do you collect.
Depends.
Is that correct?
If we put a lien on property, they could us in their lawsuit, then we won't get any money out of it.
But if we put $25 a day, we won't get anything out of that if it goes into foreclosure.
Right. Well, if it's already in foreclosure, we can't put a lien on the property.
Well, there are a number of scenarios that ultimately affect the circumstance at the end. So at this point, I think the imposition of a lien is a harmful effect of the imposition of a lien at this point, with their apparently already being suspended.
This pendant was on September 18th, 2009. And it should be going to court around February 8th, 2010.
Goes into foreclosure. This action taken today is meaningless.
That's why I asked for a small fine. So
right.
We don't.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay. What is the policy of the city? Because my position has always been if there's a lease pendants, we can't lien the property. Although some cities have taken the position that you still can.
And that's the position that I've always taken,
right.
that we can proceed we can proceed with imposing a fine. The effect of the lien is limited as to the property, but it's limited by, as a matter of law. There's no special action we take, but the validity of the lien is both
will it be recorded,
personal
though?
And because the validity of the lien is both personal and real,
right.
Then we record and proceed because
okay.
The validity of the lien is still.
I got you.
And I'd like to state also that the possibility of this, and I know and understand that the respondent has possibly abandoned the property, but this is just a list pending. They're not actually, they haven't gone before the judge, and there's been no date set. So
yes.
There's a possibility they could still pay what they're owed, what the bank is owed.
Yeah, but this, and the argument, and we won't leave go over there, but, you know, the statutory effect of list pending is, it has one perception versus the position of the police powers to abate nuisance even as we continue.
Okay. The position that the city takes is that we go ahead and put the lien on the property, do record it, with the obvious state of lien, we go after personal property rather than real property.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, all right.
Yes. We have a motion on the table.
A comment here. With the pace of foreclosures today, that foreclosure could still be going on a year from today.
Right.
So I think we want to go ahead and do whatever we can. But I'd like to stimulate the lender, whoever it is that's foreclosing, to complete the foreclosure. And then we would have some the ability to lien the property.
Right.
If the corrections are not taken, then we have some clout to have something done.
Question to Mr. Sino and Mr. Jackson. Would it be proper now to add the lender, U.S. Bank National Association?
Well, the lender is not the owner at this point.
Okay, so we would wait for that.
You don't have to wait.
Okay. Just wanted some clarification. For the record, we are considering a position of a fine at $25 per day to be capped at $20,000. Again, that fine would be effective January 14, 2010. We did have a motion and a second. Are there any additional comments or questions by members of the board?
Motion?
Yes.
And Mr. Brown?
Sure. Hearing none, all those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. If I may, let's see. How many cases do we have? Well, let's dispose of the existing case, and then we'll get to the new. I was going to ask anyone who's present to just come forward. Case number 13, CEB 1209224, GEA Seaside Investments Incorporated, 37 South Grandview. Is the respondent present? Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. That was that attorney that said that stay was, this is a 37 South Grandview?
37 South Grandview, yes. So
we're
determining
we
a compliance date today.
I thought he was going to be here.
Okay. We're actually on the our agenda today, we're supposed to set a compliance date.
Mr. Chairman, I believe if you previous minutes say that we set a compliance date of January 6th, in the previous minutes, I believe I motion.
Oh, that
board action, Dr. Adam, a motion to find the respondent non-compliant, order respondent come into compliance by January 6th or until compliance is achieved and further motion is denied. Respect the compliance requested by respondent. Mr. Haynes seconded. It was approved 6-1. Mr. Bourne abstained.
That's what the record states. Thank you, Dr. Manning. What say you, Michael?
Non-compliant, $500 a day fine up to $20,000.
Nothing's been
500 a day.
It's yeah. They haven't contacted me back. It's got rats. The neighbors are calling. It's trying to get them to move.
Where have you contacted the? Do you have a contact person for this?
It was that attorney who
was the attorney.
Yeah, who asked for the last time he couldn't be here and he knew about today, so.
I think $500 a day might be pretty excessive. With $20,000, that gives you, what, 20 days?
40 days.
40 days. to come into compliance, that's pretty quick.
Keep in mind, Dr. Bellamy, that's just a recommendation by the inspector. Yeah, we have the right to...
I think the cap is too low.
I do, too.
Well, I think the property's not worth it. I don't think the property's worth that much.
Speaking on the ocean?
No.
It's a good neighborhood, isn't it?
From the ocean? Ocean
Avenue. Grandview. It's on Grandview.
It's in the CRA district.
Just to the south.
Oh, South Grandview. I was thinking Ocean Avenue for some reason.
Oh, South Grandview.
I was thinking Ocean Avenue. That's in the Seaside Historic District, isn't it?
That's pathetic.
It's a pretty bad...
I'm sure it's not a contributing structure, but it's in a district.
They own two structures, one right next to it, but the other one is CBS block and not falling down. And this one, the door gets broken open every so often. There are people going in. There's rats. There's neighbors calling constantly on it, and we try to get them to knock it down.
But where is their management office?
It's a lawyer. I think the bank took it over.
Okay, this is in receivership, this company.
Dr. Bannerman, you said that the $500 per day is excessive. Do you have any other suggestions?
Well, $500 a day with a 20,000 cap only gives it 40 days.
Correct.
I would think $250 a day with a $20,000 cap would be a lot more reasonable.
Give us 80 days.
Give them 80 days or even $200.
Well, have we set upon this figure, this cap figure? Why is it $20,000?
Community you want.
Yeah, probably not will, but
we
want
the right to set the cap.
Yeah, we just gave you a number because we didn't think the property was worth it. They said they wanted to keep us under what the property was worth.
Kind of you got a suggestion, Neil?
Well, this is a management company with a lot of properties, and they pick and choose what they want to, you know, do. So why are we doing any...
$250 a day and make them pick pretty quick, I should think.
I would hope so, unless they're just planning on dumping the property into the bank.
$250 a day with a $25,000 cap. Okay. Make a motion that we respond.
All right.
About 100 days.
Excuse me?
That's about 100 days.
Yeah. I make a motion to respond if you find $250 a day effective today up to a cap of $25,000.
I'll second that motion.
We have a motion and second. Are there any comments or questions by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Case number 14, CEB 120922 6, trust number 617, dated 9/15/09. Is the respondent present? Morning, Josh.
Morning.
What can you tell? Oh, let's swear the respondent in.
This isn't your case, I believe.
Oh, I'm sorry.
What can you tell us about it, John?
Good morning. This case started back in August. They just applied for the occupational license on 12/9, had their first inspection on 1/6. It failed. I would be inclined to go ahead and impose the one-time fine of $250.
Chair would entertain a motion finding respondent noncompliance and imposing a one-time administrative fee of $250. Is there such a motion?
Second.
We have a motion and second. Are there any questions or comments?
John, are you planning on filing additional violation for the things that failed?
No. I have no control over.
Okay, then
my only violation is the operational license.
We do this one time, 250, then that's the end of it. He can keep those things that made him fail.
Well, he still has to actually pass the rental inspection, which he hasn't done yet.
But the one-time fine, and he's through with it.
Pretty much.
Where if we don't put the fine, can you not violate him for the things that are not, that made him fail?
I don't know what made him fail.
Oh, how do you know it failed, then?
It's in the record from the building department.
Okay, couldn't the building department tell you what made it fail and then you violate him for those? See, my problem is once we do the $250 fine, he can wash his hands and say, okay, I'm through with it. I don't have to do anything inside anymore. And the people in there have to live with that.
But our concern is him having a rental license.
Correct.
Right.
That's all that we're concerned
with. But we
with.
Know that he's got violations.
We do?
Sure we do, because he failed the inspection.
That's not in front of us. We have to be careful. All we're concerned with is him having a rental license.
Right.
He doesn't have that.
Yes, for this particular case, you're correct.
I think we need to pursue the violations that made him fail the rental license. I don't know how to do that. That's your job, not mine. But I think it needs to be pursued if he failed it.
That would be a different case and not one that we
have
to discuss.
Are you going to have another case?
Right.
Well,
we would have to discuss those things at that particular time.
Right.
Yeah, we're being overly zealous here.
Yes. Are there any other comments or questions by members of the board? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Case number 15, CEB 1209227, is in compliance as of 1-4-2010. Case number 16, CEB 1209229, Linnell Harton Deloach, 101 East Fairview Avenue. Is the respondent present? We're here for a progress report, and we have a compliance date set for February 3rd, 2010. Again, Mark.
Good progress.
Great.
Permits have been applied for. They had several estimates that they went and got, but now they have somebody online, and a permit has been applied for that I have confirmed through the building department, and that this compliance date of 2-3 is still good, but if it doesn't get done by then, we'll extend it. So good progress.
Okay, great. Thank you.
I noticed in our minutes that we required him to be at this meeting. That was in the minutes.
Dr. Fenneman, I
asked a motion required the respondent to come into compliance and be returned. He appeared. Required further motion to require the respondent to appear, either in person or in writing.
Mr. Benjamin, I would dare say that through communications with getting the permit and with being excused, that probably was just something that was overlooked. And
sure he's going to get into compliance by 2-3? All right.
Should reasonably, like I say, but he's real good progress. I mean, we went from nothing to getting the permit.
Good.
And that tree, if you remember, that tree was an issue that's
right.
Between two properties.
Right.
And we got to get permission to take it down. So, but again, Dr. Benham, I did tell the occupant on the phone to be here today, but the owner of the property has been in communications about the permit, and I believe he may have been accidentally excused, and we apologize for that.
Did the owner or respondent give you anything in writing, Mark?
No, but I know through Colleen Miles he has been down and has applied for the permit. And I've also heard it from the occupant, so I'm satisfied that...
So that would be a matter of record?
That would be a matter of record, yes, sir.
So because it does state that he should appear in person or in writing for...
I told the occupant to be here. He was going to represent the owner, and...
That satisfies me.
Okay, good.
Okay.
Okay. We'll get the folks. Don't have to vote on that, just a progress report.
Yeah,
right.
Does any member of the board like to take about a 5-minute break before we move on to the new cases?
Did you call my
ticket? Not yet. No breaks? Okay. We're going to move on to our new cases. Yours is next, Barbara. Case number 17.
Ask people that are waiting. You're going to get rid of the audience first.
Can we just dispose of Barbara's first? Well,
sure.
Well, what would the board like to do? Would they like to call everybody up who's here and move on with the other cases? What's your pleasure?
These are simple. I don't think any of my respondents are here, and then I can go back and do the focus.
All right. Okay. Case number 17, CEB 011001, Marie L. Nader, 309 Bayberry Lakes Boulevard.
Yes, this is for rental, not having a rental license. Originally, the reason it took so long is the tenant told me he thought it was going into foreclosure. I have watched and I have not seen it. The tenant has been in contact with the owner. I've had to hand deliver all notices because they've returned. He accepted the CEB2 notice and said that he would call the owner again. I find the property in non-compliance, the next cutoff.
Chair would entertain a motion finding respondent in non-compliance and allowing respondent until February 3rd, 2010 to come into compliance, be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day.
So moved.
Motion by Mr.
Second.
It's not $1,000 a day. I think it's $250 one-time fine, isn't it?
Oh, right. I'm sorry. There, yes.
Yeah, it is.
Let me retract. If you would.
Retract the motion.
Okay. Chair would entertain a motion allowing respondent until February, finding respondent non-compliance and allowing respondent until February 3rd to come into compliance, be returned to the board for consideration of a one-time administrative fee of $250.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Brown, second by Mr. Bourne's. Are there any questions and comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Thanks, Dr. Bannerman. Case number 18, CEB 011002, Dennis Napier. That's 104 Pine Needles Circle.
Yes, it's junk vehicles. The one in the front is, the tag is out of date. I'm not sure that the boat is not out of date. And there's a vehicle in the back you can see. Non-compliance, next cutoff.
The Jaguar is out of date?
That's not a Jag.
It's not?
I don't think it's a Jag.
I think it's a Ford.
Okay.
No, it's not running. It's been sitting there for like that for a month or more.
Gotcha.
Chair would entertain a motion finding respondent in non-compliance, allowing respondent until February 3rd, 2010 to come into compliance, be returned to the board for consideration of a fine for $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Bourne, second by Mr. Brown. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Case number 19, CEB 011003, Michael O'Neill Schaefer, Paul M. and Nora K. Schaefer.
It's in compliance of 113.
Okay, thanks, Tom. We have disposed of case number 20. Case number 21, CEB 011005, Panoria Papalambros Revocable Living Trust, dated 6/26/96, 1019 Main Street.
In compliance, January 13th.
Thanks, Michael. Case number 22, CEB 011006, is in compliance as of 12/28/2009. Case number 23, CEB 011007, is also in compliance as of 12/8/2009. Case number 24, CEB 011008, Richard and Suzanne McGreevy. That's 900 North Wild Olive Avenue. Is respondent present?
No, sir.
Morning, Steve. What can you tell us?
This particular case came in as a police referral on October 27. Inspection 1028, green card received 11/4, reinspection 11/18, and the NOV, because of lack of progress, was 12/2. There has been some progress. You'll see that it's another one of those issues of way too much outside trash, debris, storage, and a lot of things going on. Mr. McGreevy, I talked to him yesterday. He couldn't be here today because he has physical injuries that were complicated by what he termed an altercation with the city employee. So leaving that aside, he couldn't fix the rest of the stuff because he was injured again. Anyway, I would like to extend this to next Barbara, did I not get my photos in?
I don't see photos in here.
Okay. But anyway, it's non-compliance at this time. To the next cutoff, please.
Chair would entertain a motion finding respondent in non-compliance and allowing respondent until February 3rd, 2010 to come into compliance, be returned to the board for consideration of a fine for $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Bourne's. I believe Mr. Harrington was the second. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Case number 25, CEB 01-1009, David Ewson and Marilyn Davis, JTRS, 232 Williams Avenue. Is there a respondent here? Steve?
No.
What can you tell us?
Really? Oh, yeah.
I'm not sure what happened to that last photo. I spent a lot of time last night getting those on, but anyway, this one's on there.
Okay.
Anyway, this is also another one. It's a fairly simple one. It's a trailer house parked out in front of the yard. I have had no contact with the owner. I have inspected 11:10. Green card returned. 12:01. CB2 issued 12:03 because of no compliance. Trailer's still not there by yesterday. The only thing that's happened with this trailer is the extension had been moved in. It appeared to be lived in, but not at this time. But non-compliance to the next cutoff.
Does it have a license plate on the trailer?
It's parked in such a manner that I would violate some laws to go check. It's backed in, and I would have to get off the sidewalk.
Is it possible
to see
you
can return?
Correct. The green card, yes.
He's
aware. And I have posted the front door as well, so I know he's aware.
You posted the front door and the notice has been removed from the door?
Yes.
Steve, is it possible to get permission from maybe a neighbor from the adjacent property and maybe just look over the fence or through the fence just to see if there's a license plate on there?
Well, it's actually parked in the front yard up against brush. It's
oh, I see.
Right in there. Where
right.
I don't
look at
ice. Yeah. Yeah, it'd be difficult.
Chair would entertain a motion to find a respondent.
Electrical wire going.
Yes, it was.
And it's hooked up.
I didn't look at it yesterday, but I do know that it was prior when the pop-out was out. Yes, the door was open, steps were down. It was looked used and lived in.
Okay. Chair would entertain a motion for under respondent in non-compliance and allowing the respondent until February 3rd, 2010 to come into compliance be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of $1,000 per day. Is that such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion
thank you.
By Mr. Brown, second by Mr. Bourne. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed, same sign. I'd like to ask any member of the audience, if you have a case, would you like to come forward? Just come forward, state the case number, and raise your hand, right hand, and be sworn. Which case is it?
It's case
number
01-1010.
What was
zero?
It?
So I guess one.
What's the number of it?
26-01-1010.
It's 26. I'm sorry, sir.
Look to the left. What's the case number?
HJF Properties, LLC?
Yes.
That's case number 26.
Okay.
In order.
Number 26.
Thank you.
Case number 26, CEB 01-1010, HJF Properties, LLC, 230 South B Street.
Mr. Stevens, before we even get started, I'm Michael Knight, and I am not Henry J. Foley. I'm here, and Henry J. Foley's representing him. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am, I do. And he is in the hospital getting outpatient surgery today. I did bring a document stating some corrections that were made and the reason of the problem, but I'm certainly not in the position which to represent Mr. Foley at this particular time. So what I'd be asking would be for a continuance date in order for him to represent himself.
And do you have the authority to speak for him?
Yes, sir, I do have the authority to speak for him. And the gentleman, Mr. Kirsch, I believe his name is, has the document that I presented to the board this morning.
Okay.
I did not.
I've got a copy of that, but I'd be good.
Robert, what can you tell us about the case?
We had a... Red Tails has a drainage system for the roof. And when I first inspected it during the heavy rain, it was overflowing the top, and it was coming out the seams. Okay. Eventually, it finds its way to that. I presume I didn't put any dye in or anything like that. That's the top that drops down the building through that. That's the, I forget what you call it, that's where it goes out the wall on the roof into the one type thing. That's how big the roof is.
Okay.
And that's the front of Red Tails. comes around, there's that gutter leaking. And when I've been there, it seems like most of the leaking is on the vertical part. And like I said, at first it was overflowing, I believe, and I had been to Red Tail several occasions, and their maintenance guys would go out and tell me they fixed it, and I'd come back and it wasn't fixed, and ask them to get a receipt of what they did, which he has now. But since that work was done, it still at least leaks through the seams. Now, I don't know if it overflows because the rains that I saw weren't as great as that.
Yeah, pass it on, though.
But it leaks through the vertical seams. And the only time I looked at that outfall was during my first inspection, and the outfall seemed to have not enough volume coming out of it to indicate that it was blocked. Now, he's got a piece of paper here that says he unblocked it, which is perfectly reasonable. And if they say they unblocked it, he's got a receipt. I can believe that. But it still leaks. It still has a lot of water, recurrent rains that gets on the roof. And I've read his paper. I don't know if you guys have all read it yet. But
Mr. Harrington hasn't yet.
He talks about an improper hookup from the complainant, the property next door. As far as that goes, I don't really know nothing about how anything is hooked up. I've just seen the top of it. I've seen it overflow. I've seen it leak. And I've seen water from his roof get all over the roof next door.
Okay.
And that's all I know about.
Okay. If I may,
sure.
Sir, apparently what this contract stating is that they have unconsented hookup into their drain system, which created their own problem by not allowing the water to flow in the capacity that it was flowing before. Apparently the neighbor hooked up to the drain system to avoid cost on their behalf, and in return now they have an issue with this water splashing off the top of the building onto their building. So I would say that the ultimate fix would be is to have the neighbor disconnect from their drainage system and create their own drainage system. But would we need this gentleman here to maybe inspect the neighbor's drain system and see if indeed this is a true and accurate statement?
Well, what I would like to see is apply for a permit to do repairs on their drainage system, because it still leaks in the seams, right?
Sir, I would not be able to comment on that.
From what I've seen, it still leaks at the seams. So there is some repair that they need to do just so the seams don't leak. So I would like to see them get a permit, do that repair, and then when our building inspectors go to look at that, they can analyze the whole situation and see who tied into what and whether it was done right.
Mr. Stevens, I was basically here on Henry J. Foley's behalf to get a continuance date. Now, if I need to give him some instructional things in which to do, I will do that.
We'll address that in just a moment. Okay.
How come the building people haven't been out there? This is first filed in June. And if that was the...
From what I saw, it just looked simply like a leak. And clogged drains.
So you don't agree with this, that it is a connection problem?
I didn't investigate it that closely. All I saw was the water was coming from his roof, getting on the neighbor. And so I reacted to that with code enforcement. And I asked him to do some repairs, and he did some of it. And in doing that repair, it seemed like he found some more cracks. And this is the first I've heard of it, as far as what he has here on the paper. So that's why I'm saying now that I would like to have building inspectors out there eventually.
And based on your inspection, Robert, he's still in non-compliance, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Still leaks.
So we'll address that.
Right.
What time frame would you say they would be able to repair the problem or eradicate the issue?
Well, since he has new information here, I really couldn't put a date on there. Now, from what I saw, from sealing the thing up to sealing the seam, and getting a building permit for the inspectors look at it to see if there's still a problem after you sealed it, he could do that by the next cutoff.
Okay.
So I would like to see, non-compliance next cutoff, and then by that time we should have more information and
okay.
Know where to go from there.
Mr. Stevens, I'm not so sure I understand what he's talking about, sealing the seams and which to relay over to Mr. Foley and which to get a permit for.
Well, Mr. Kish will be happy to better explain that to you
okay.
In just a couple of minutes.
Yes, sir.
How long is this the respondent going to be involved in surgery and unable to appear?
Sir, this is an, it was an outpatient surgery that he's an airline pilot, and he had a, only a window of opportunity in which to get this done.
Okay.
So he got it done today.
So he should be able to appear before us next month.
Absolutely, sir. He would be able to.
Okay. Chair would entertain a motion finding the respondent non-compliance, allowing the respondent until February 3rd, 2010 to commit to compliance to be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Brown. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Harrington. Are there any additional comments or questions by members of the board?
Okay, now we're going to find him non-compliant and require him to come into compliance by the 3rd of February.
Okay.
Okay, now if he doesn't come into compliance by that date, he needs to call Mr. Kish, and he needs to be here on our February 11th meeting.
All right. Now,
otherwise, that fine's going to go into effect.
All right, that's what I was just going to ask. Did you guys, did you gentlemen impose that fine, or is it imposed?
No.
No.
Okay. All right. So I have until February 3rd to reach compliance. Mr. Kish is going to explain to me what we need to do to achieve that level.
Right.
Okay, thank you.
And
sir.
Then the fine can be imposed on the 11th. So
yes, sir, I understand.
He should, if he's not going to do it by then, if he's got an argument with who should pay for the permit, something like that, he needs to be here on the 11th.
I'll make sure he's present here on the 11th.
Okay.
All right, so it needs to be done by the 3rd. He needs to be here by the 11th.
That's well,
correct.
Mr. Brown, are you including in your motion that the respondent has to appear at our February 11th meeting?
Oh, no.
Not necessarily.
So the motion stands as is. Okay.
Yes.
Just wanted a correction or clarification. Okay, we have a motion and second. Are there any additional comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Okay.
I need to write that down. Thank you.
Thank you. Case number 27, CEB 01-1011, Seagrave Properties, LLC. Oh, I'm sorry. What was your case number?
John Kramer. I'm in here on behalf of Helen Rutter.
Which case?
01-10-16. 32.
Case 32. CEB 01-1016, Helen J. Rutter, 429 Brentwood Drive. Would you raise
That's
your right
correct.
Hand and be sworn? And just hold it just a moment. Case number 32.
Mr. Rutter? No, I'm her caregiver.
Okay.
I have power of attorney. She signed to me yesterday.
Okay, what's your name, sir?
John Kramer, K-R-A-M-U-R.
Raise
your
right hand, please. Do you solemnly swear the testimony about to provide us the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Is that the power of attorney?
Yes.
Let me see that, please. You want to put that up on the...
She's 87 years old, and she's very limited on getting around.
John, what can you tell us about it?
Members of the board, this has been an ongoing problem property. This particular case, we started this particular case in December. Ultimately, there's been no progress on the property. I've been here for numerous re-inspections. I always get that there's been an issue that come up that kept them from coming into compliance. Ultimately, nothing's been done. There's been no progress. And I recommend non-compliance next cutoff. And from the history, I'm sure we'll be here again on this particular case.
Is that a swimming pool?
That is a swimming pool.
Is it secure?
It's clear now, Your Honor.
It's secure.
It's clear now. I've got two pool companies working on it. The floods that came through Daytona filled the whole backyard with 4 inches of mud, and the pipes all
broke. Is the property occupied?
Yes.
That's probably the
something that he didn't understand. The woman who owns the property has been there since 52, and she's got a feud with a neighbor who wanted to buy her land to build some storage units. He bought everything around her, and when it came time to buy hers, he was out of money and offered her $25,000, and he'd pay her more later, and she told him no, and he's been going nuts ever since. So she's under the impression that all this stuff is him. And I've got her to come around now to where she understands that See, I've been basically told it's done. I'm not going to do what he did. What Daryl, the neighbor, she's thinking that in doing this is pleasing him. So I've had a discussion with her the last couple of days and convinced her that we've got to bite the bullet as far as her and Daryl go. You know. So but her only problem is finances. The pool is now clear. Blue Haven and Osceola Plumbing have been working on it along with me. And I've got water tests here now as of yesterday. And all we've got to do now is fix one broken pipe and continue to blow the mud out of the submerged pipes. And but the water is clear, and it's got a 100%.
You living in this trailer, this RV?
No. See, that's another thing that the neighbors.
Is anybody living in the RV?
No. Now in 07 I was. There was another one there. It has since burned down.
Nobody's living in the RV now, though.
No, I live in the main house. The neighbor, this gentleman I'm talking about. I utilize it for storage and other things. I go back in and out of it all the time, but I live in the main house with a woman. She's 100% disabled, basically. But there's no plumbing out there. There's no, just electric. I run a video camera or a surveillance camera out there sometimes. We've been burglarized twice, and the police say, unless you got it on tape, you know. We have vacant property all around behind us. They took the radiator out of it and tried to take the propane tank. So the homeless kind of take up in the field behind us. We've got that under control, I believe.
Okay.
But she's under control now as far as knowing what we have to do. Okay. But she can only do so much with her checks every month.
Okay, Mr. Kramer, as power of attorney for the respondent, Helen J. Rutter, do you agree that the conditions existed at the time of notice?
Yes.
Okay. Chair would entertain a motion finding the respondent in noncompliance and allowing the respondent until February 3rd, 2010 to come into compliance. I'll be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Boren, second by Mr. Brown. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board?
It'd be possible to come into compliance in 30 days.
Well, she feels that it's going to take her two checks. She gets checks at the end of every month, and this last check just did the pool, and that's almost $900. And then she had to fill up her oil tank three times in the last 40 days, and each time was $600.
Well, I agree with the non-compliance, but I think she ought to be given 60 days in order to come into compliance.
That would 60 days would be perfect.
Yeah.
Mr. Brown, would you consider?
I'll withdraw my motion. My second.
Yeah. And I'll modify mine to allow it to the March.
If I can, I'll have it done before that.
Okay.
Yeah. I second. Okay. We have a motion allowing the respondent until February 3rd, 2010 to come into compliance, be returned to the board for consideration of a fine.
No, March 3rd.
Excuse me, I meant to say March 3rd.
Well, I think that's your birthday, sir.
March 3rd.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
2010.
She's a stubborn woman, so.
Are there any additional?
I couldn't tell him at the time what was going on.
There are any additional comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed, same sign. We've given you Mr. Kramer or Ms. Rutter until March 3rd to come into compliance.
Thank you.
Okay. If you have any problems, please contact us.
I will. Hopefully I'll be in compliance before then. I'll call him and have him come out and inspect.
Right. Yes, thank you.
Am I done?
Yes, thank you.
All right, John, I'll give you a call.
Thank you. We're making copies of that power of attorney.
Okay. Okay. That power of attorney is original.
I keep that in effect until we're done.
We'll get the original back to you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Just take a seat.
Good morning. What case is it?
34.
Case number 34, CEB 011018, Ronald L. Helgema, 332 Fairview Avenue. Ronald Helgema. John. I do. Case 34.
This is a simple case of not having an occupational license. First notified in October as well. Last inspection was 113. It was inspected the first time. The field inspection is waiting to be re-inspected for the occupational license. So, not the license next time.
Okay. Do you have any comments you'd like to make, Mr. Halgema?
I might have to apply for a variance because some of the things that the inspector is requesting is unusual, I think.
That will be a matter of addition issue. That's something different. We can't take here.
If I can't comply, then it is your issue. And how do I get in compliance?
But we'll have to tackle that when we get to that point.
One way would be to not occupy the property. Don't rent the property.
Well, that's not feasible.
I mean, you can vacate the property and then you're...
Do you want to hear about what my complaint is?
If the property's not occupied, you'd be in compliance. It's not rented.
What if you plan to have it occupied again by a tenant, you still have to get an occupational license?
Well, I plan on renting the property. It's been a rental property for many years.
Then you have to come into compliance or get fined.
Well, I want to get a variance for one of the things that he's requesting, which is...
But until you get the variance, the property shouldn't be rented.
Excuse me, now, let's understand. When he said he's requesting, that's not code enforcement. That's
right.
The building department.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, in order to come into compliance, there's two ways. You can either get the occupational license, and that requires all these variances you're talking about, or you can unoccupy the property. And you got your choice. And if you don't unoccupy the property and you don't commit to compliance, then we have our choices to fine you.
Well, I have applied for the permit or the occupational license. I have paid the fee, and I have complied with many things on the list.
Mr. Halgema, until you actually have you pass the inspection, you're still not in compliance.
Okay.
Do you agree that at the time of notification that those conditions did exist?
Correct.
Chair would entertain a motion finding respondent in non-compliance and allowing respondent until our February 3rd, 2010 cutoff to come into compliance to be returned to the board for consideration of a one-time administrative fee of $250. So that's such a motion.
So moved. Second.
Just essentially before you move forward with the motion, I think it's probably proper to hear what it's going to take for them to come into compliance.
Okay.
If he has some issue that's
sure.
That requires another board or something.
Okay. What difference does that make, Tony?
Well, you're asking them to come into compliance. You have to know what it requires.
He either comes into compliance, either gets the license, or he vacates the property.
Well, you agree that merely not renting for the moment is not compliance for the rental lock license if you're still holding the property out as rental property. So I think it's a relevant issue, at least for the board and for me, and if I can ask. It's relevant to know what the issue is that we're bringing
up. Tony, may I ask you a question?
It may extend the period that we need to allow him for compliance.
In order to get a rental license, does it require that you have some kind of inspection?
Yes.
That inspection was not done before you started renting, is what you're saying.
That's why he's in violation.
So is there a reason you didn't do that?
I think I can sort of give you a probable answer, Mr. Harrington. A lot of times we have landowners or property owners who rent the properties and the city's just not aware. Say, for instance, you had a property that you were renting and you decided not to apply for an OC license. If the city is not aware of that at the time,
mm-hmm.
there's no way to enforce the fact that even though we have the code or the regulation, if we don't know, we can't enforce it.
I guess really my point is that...
And I agree.
He has an opportunity to be heard.
Right,
this is
right.
Due process.
Just tell him.
Just give an opportunity.
I agree. Correct. I would like to get an opportunity. The building, this is a picture of the building, and it has very nice architecturally designed windows in the front here, and all of them do not work. The inspector is requesting that they all open and close with screens. I don't see where that is necessary. These windows don't open here. I think that if I had windows that opened in the front enough for a person to pass through in case there was a fire, that would be enough.
Well, that's a residential property. Mr. Helgemo versus this is not a residential property. I think that might kind of settle your issue there.
Correct. But I think it's unreasonable to say that every window has to open when they're...
You have to have egress.
Yes. Well, there is egress. If one... This is a little sunroom right here. And these windows are probably almost 100 years old. The hardware that they use to open these windows, their casement-type windows, doesn't exist anymore. We have fabricated enough to have several of the windows open. And we have secured the others, the other windows with screws and whatever.
But it becomes a safety issue.
Every window has to open.
Is that in the historic district?
It's right on the border. Yeah.
Fairview Avenue. Street 92 Fairview.
I don't know if that's in it or not.
Is that between Redwood and Beach?
It's a contributing structure.
It's not
a structure. I don't guess it is.
Is that...
Because that might be
between the railroad track and Ridgewood?
Correct. On the north side.
Yeah, probably that might present a problem if it is, but
I think it isn't. The dividing line is right there.
Yeah, that might get you your variance if it's in the historic district and a contributing structure.
The inspector says it.
Mr. Chair, if he's requesting a variance, if we move this to our March cutoff, would that give him enough time?
At least get enough time to apply.
Right.
System.
You're talking about going to the Board of Adjustments for this variance?
Whatever
it takes.
That's
the only way you can get it.
Well, here again, we have to understand that this is a safety issue.
So it would not be Board of Adjustments.
The windows have to open in case of a fire or another emergency. The person who will occupy in that particular dwelling have to be able to exit the building.
So how would you get a variance then? I mean, who would say...
I can't necessarily 100% say that they're not going to grant it, but again, keep in mind it's a safety issue.
Yeah.
One window opening is not enough in a room?
Might be. That's up to the...
We're kind of getting outside of the scope of our duties here.
Yeah. Well, that's something that would have to be, the question has to be answered by the building official, and you'll have to go downstairs to talk to that particular individual.
Is that the inspector that made the inspection?
It may or may not be.
Mr.
Chair, I do have a suggestion. I think it's right to say that the immediate solution is that place doesn't need to be rented, and knowing even because it's being if it was is being rented or being held out for rental, it's being done without the requirements of the ordinance, and so that's the easy part A. So I think that could be part of the order. And my suggestion would be just to allow him time to seek, if he's indicating he has a desire to make the improvements necessary to obtain the license, to allow him that time to seek that redress. He very well may not be allowed to get a variance, may not even be able to apply for a variance for that issue, but I don't know that answer.
At least he's applied for the rental permit, so he's attempting to cooperate, so...
Are you saying, Mr. Jackson, that we should allow the respondent maybe until February 3rd, 2010, and require him to...
Is it currently occupied?
Yes, it is.
Make sure it is not occupied until he comes into compliance? Is that your suggestion?
It's under a lease, and people do not wish to move. They're scared to death that they're going to have to move. They're great tenants.
Well, I'm not going to be the one
of the... Well, it's going to cost you $250, and then you can tell me those headers.
I'm sorry?
You pay the $250 fine, and then you can't do anything else.
Howard.
I hate to tell you that, but that's the case.
And is this no...
Well, we're trying to comply with everything. I mean, I've hired an electrician. He's applied for a permit.
What you're asking for is beyond the purview of this particular board. You'd have to speak to the building official, a building...
Okay.
Apartment downstairs.
We'll continue to work with him.
Pardon me?
We'll continue to work with him.
I guess any continued rental of the property would be at his peril and the peril of the folks who are renting there, not as long as
the board's got to do what the board's got to do. The board at this point has got to have five and out compliance.
Yeah.
The next cutoff date, if he doesn't have it, then it's not ready there. Then we're going to have to look at maybe a more enhanced fine.
Right. Well, we would have to find another violation in order to enhance.
Right. That's true. Because it's
we have motion.
The motion to refine and respond to non-compliant, require and respond to committee compliance by February 3rd, or be returned to the board for consideration of a one-time $250 fine.
Make the motion.
Mr. Barnes and then Mr. Brown seconded with the non-compliance February 3rd.
Same thing.
Yeah, it's already done.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Mr. Helgema, we've given you until February 3rd to come into compliance. Will be returned for to the board for consideration of a one-time administrative fee of $250.
You don't have to kick out your residents.
Good. But again, I would suggest you just go downstairs and speak to someone down in the building department about those issues that you have.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Just clarify for the record, that's not an instruction of the board. Right. That you not.
That's not the board's direction.
Your lack of responsibility in not having tenants pursuant to the board.
Okay. Too complicated, wasn't it? What we were doing. But back to case number 27, CEB.
We
have
to go to
29. Yeah. Oh, we do? Okay. Case number 29, CEB 011013, Felicia Martin, 343 North Seagrave Street. Good morning.
Felicia Martin. Yes.
Good morning, Ms. Martin.
Good morning.
Excuse me.
Property that has maintenance issues. They had renters to start with. The renters are now gone, but the maintenance issues persist. But based on her testimony, the former owner, she is no longer the owner, and based on that, we would like to withdraw the case after she has time to speak.
Come on.
I'm no longer the owner.
Who is the owner?
Regions Bank.
If you withdraw the case, we don't take any action.
Right.
This is a foreclosure?
Or I deeded it back to him.
Okay.
That's it.
How long ago did that occur?
December.
Case number 29 is withdrawn.
You'll have to recite the bank then.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks, Ms. Martin. Case number 27, CEB 011011, Seagrave Properties LLC. That's 403 Dutton Mary McLeod Thun Boulevard. Robert.
I don't expect the owner to be here, but cite him for maintenance issues. I think it was a paint. And they're working on it right now. I just saw them yesterday. If you scroll through the pictures, I guess that's the before. And the one that comes up with people in it, they've been working on it.
Next call.
So we would non-compliance next call.
Chair will entertain a motion found in respondent non-compliance and allow the respondent until February 3rd, 2010 to come into compliance, be returned to the board for consideration of $1,000 per day.
So moved.
Second. Motion by Mr. Brown, second by Mr. Harrington. Are there any comments or questions by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Case number 28, CEB 011012, 726 North Dixie LLC, 275 North Ridgewood Avenue.
And I don't expect the property owner to be here. I saw him earlier. It was just a store they closed. They left the signs up. We're asking if they call the outdated signs down. And
do you have pictures of those signs?
That's as close up as it gets. It's just
what's the sign?
It's a tire building. It says Mystic at the driveways. It says Mystic. It says Handyway on the building in the corner. So they've got a bunch of old signs they need to take down. And also they've got Play Lotto and a bunch of different cardboard signs inside the window that they're going to get rid of. And I've spoken to them, and I'm confident that they will be done by next call.
Chair would entertain a motion found in respondent in non-compliance, allowing respondent until February 3rd, 2010 to come into compliance, be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of the $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Brown, second by Mr. Barnes. Are there any comments or questions by members of the board?
Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. We dispose of case number 29. Case number 30, CEB 101-1014, is in compliance as of January 4, 2010. Case number 31, CEB 01-1015, ING Investor Groups Incorporated, is also in compliance as of 1-6-2010. We have also disposed of case number 32. Case number 33, CEB 01-1017, Brenda J. Johnson Estate, Joseph Johnson and Trazelle Johnson, 736 Edward Street. What do you think, John?
The only progress on this property, and by the way, I've had to post the property as well because the certified letter is returned. Okay. The only progress on this property was that I had a separate case for a lot clearance and they actually cut the grass. Outside of that, all other violations still exist.
Okay. Chair would entertain a motion found in respondent in noncompliance and allowing respondent until February 3rd, 2010 to come into compliance and be returned to the board for consideration of a fine for $1,000 per day.
So moved.
A motion by Mr.
Second.
Brown. Second by Mr. Warren. Is there any questions or comments by
Mr.
Is it
occupied?
No, it's not.
Is it secure to city standards?
It appears to be.
Appears to be.
From what I can see, from what I'm allowed to do, yes, it appears to be secure.
Okay.
And that's my posting still on the front door.
Is there any additional comments or questions by members of the board?
Posting still on the door.
The posting is still on the front door. That's the posting for the notice of hearing, not for the notice of violation.
Okay. Do you know if it's drawing electricity or water?
Well, it's not occupied, so no. To answer your question, no, I don't know.
All right.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed, same sign. Motion carries. We've disposed of case number 34. Case number 35, CEB 01-1019, is in compliance of December 2nd, 2009. Case number 36, CEB 01-1020, is in compliance of December 1st, 2009. We have miscellaneous business, which includes selection of board officers.
I would like to nominate Mr. Stevens for president of the board.
Chairman of the board, just correction, second.
Are there any additional nominations? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. We also need a nomination for vice chairman.
I'd like to nominate Mr. Borns as our vice chairman of the board.
I'd like to, forgive me, but I have court hearings that I have no choice. I have to be there, for example, this morning, but I had to get up almost an hour earlier to get first on the list. Otherwise, there's another dozen lawyers getting ahead of me just so I could be first and have my hearing first and then get over here. So I think it would be wise if perhaps someone else were to serve as to expedite our progress.
Any additional nominations?
I will nominate our senior member, Mr. Dr. Bannerman, as vice chairman. I think he's far more experienced than I am, and I'd love to see him give his talent and experience.
Do you accept, Dr. Bannerman?
Sure.
Second.
We have a motion and second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you very much. Is there any additional business by members of the board?
Yeah.
I have one item when you get before we go away. Go ahead.
Yeah, if I could just wanted to speak to that room one more thing, just so we can all be good on that. In general, we had two situations that come up with during the ordinance today that were interesting. One was where Ms. Bannerman was seeking to try and get more information, we were saying, you can't do anything about it. And then one where there was no information, and I'm saying, I want to hear the information. And so just want to make sure it was a little clarification of what was happening there. I wasn't saying on the other case that I was looking for y'all to take an action. But due process kind of requires that a person has the right to be heard. Now, I think we just have to kind of keep that in mind that you're still limited on what you can do in terms of, your jurisdiction is your jurisdiction, and with the rental ordinance, if they hadn't cited anything else, then the only thing you're looking at is the rental ordinance, and that person has very likely, very possibly, the staff go back and cite them. Maybe they won't. Maybe that's part of the incentive of getting them out there and do what they need to do, knowing that the staff is working with them. I don't know, but in any sense, I think y'all realize that, but I just wanted to make sure I kind of pointed out about my whole thinking there. One of this got to be heard, because it was really trying to be heard, but not that I expected it, so we're supposed to try and solve.
Well, maybe what we could do is Mr. Stevens, and he's pretty good at doing this, you just ask the individuals up there anything you want to add or anything you want to click, want to add to the, just give them that, we'll give them one shot at the apple. Yeah. Give everybody one shot at the apple.
What confuses me is this safety issue. If there's a safety issue, wouldn't that override any, you shouldn't have any tenants? Isn't
there's a whole lot of reasons for you all want to do something about it, but it's just not.
Well, no, I'm just wondering why it comes here at all.
But you got to give them an opportunity to cure.
Yeah.
That's why you say we're going to have a next cutoff date. Now, next cutoff date comes back, and he does, and this, let's say in general, there are tenants that we feel it's very safe, and we may want to consider a higher fine.
Okay, well, I'm asking
you. You're kind of stuck with, because the only thing you cited for is the rental.
Right.
We're kind of stuck with that fixed amount.
Right.
Yeah.
So but I'm just saying, we don't have any other powers.
Right.
And that's what the staff brings to the
case. Right.
That's what they're going to have to.
Right.
I understand that, but why
don't have that.
Does he still have tenants if it's a safe? Who isn't? Why is he coming here saying we're fining him because he doesn't have a license? He shouldn't have the tenants because there's a safety issue.
Somebody will be wrong.
I mean, who's supposed
to look at that, Tony? Because we if they don't have a rental license and they're in there and only are stuck with $250, nobody's going to say, well, that's part of the cost of doing business.
I think it'd be a good conversation, and I mean, we have Sergeant Bailey here, and a good conversation at the staff meeting in terms of making those decisions. Because, you know, you're kind of stuck with it. The staff says you're stuck with the staff has to bring you the case. Right. And if the only case they're bringing was they didn't get the permit, yeah, and that may be because they believe someone's working for it. Like this guy, apparently, at some point, was working to get it. He went and paid for it. He took all the actions to get
that's
it.
Fine.
But he couldn't get it.
And what about the guy who doesn't care?
Exactly. And they have the power to say, okay, well, we got all these violations. Let's bring them before the board. Let the board.
But they didn't. In this case, all we got is that one issue. We have,
yes.
We're going to have to look at that issue because we can't let people, we can't knowingly let people stay in homes that aren't safe.
Well, but you only can do it.
We could do it.
Yeah, you only can do it before.
But kind of,
I don't think we can make them vacate because it's not condemnable. If we make them vacate, we have
city
to.
City has to take care of
we
it.
We have to pay.
I understand.
Yes. And we're stuck with, yeah, we're in the family with contract and all those other little things that we're in the middle of.
What's
I mean, we can order, but we can't do anything
what's
about it.
The way they order it is the city putting us in a bind, because now we know there's a situation where someone could be not
I
safe.
Absolutely.
But on the other hand, we're saying, all we can do is $250.
Yeah,
and so there's a lot of people, that's fine. It's cost to do business.
Mm-hmm. I think that's mandated by the state, isn't it? Not so mandated by the state.
That's because
it's state law.
That's the ordinance.
Well, yeah, but it's yeah. Still so a license.
If you had a fire and the people couldn't get out.
I mean, it's really a tax. It's
you had a fire and they couldn't get out. It's on the record here as a safety risk. I think somebody's got a lawsuit against the city.
Well, they don't. But, I mean, I understand your concern, but
you may want to consider when you bring those.
But we don't want to have that on our conscience either.
In a situation where there is people actually living there. And there are code violations. You may want to consider doing both, bringing the code violation and bringing the rental line.
That's
the
staff decision.
Yeah, true decision. To consider.
We're putting together a meeting next week to address the rental ordinance that failed in 06, I believe. And, I mean, I guess that would be an issue that we need to discuss as to how we can add, if we can, anything onto that.
Yeah, and I don't remember the extent of the one that failed in 06.
I'll send you the email because you need to come to the meeting. Yeah. And if I understand correctly, if this guy that was just here, if we would have just fined him $250 then we're done?
Yes.
Yeah.
Nothing else we can do.
Well, yes and no. I mean, that doesn't stop us from going and citing them for that violation.
We're saying, yeah,
but based on the action that
we could do it next month, we could do it 4 months from now, we could do it the time it happens. It doesn't, we're not foreclosed from the other or prevented in any way, Mary, because we dealt with a separate issue. The issue of rental occupants, I mean, a rental license is a separate issue from the technical violations.
We can't.
That's why I wanted to know, what are the technical violations? What are you trying to get a variance for? You know, is this something we even have an issue with?
Well, I think that's something that
we now know we have an issue. But the fact that we know doesn't change the definition of your limits by statute or law. You only can do what you can do. But what you don't want to do is tell them it's okay.
Right.
You know, you don't want to imply in any way that we accept or approve.
You know, that's what I was getting at. Yeah.
Well, we'll try to bring that up, because maybe if we can even change the wording where there's no more one-time 250, that you're eligible to be fined continuously.
It's not like that.
You can't do that. Right.
That's
state law.
That's
state.
The 250 works when they're unoccupied. 250 does not work when a situation where people are in there, and we believe it's a safe situation. We can't tell you what to do. You bring the case. We can't look at that issue.
Yeah. I mean, the main thing that we have to recognize and understand is that these art licenses, those are fixed taxes as fixed. Boom. We want a real code action, and we really need to be citing the reason why they did it.
Exactly.
And that was what Ms. Manor made earlier, and that was the proper point. Very good.
Because what we're going to have to do, Tony, if you can't do that, then we're going to have to put a part of our orders to ask them to vacate.
Yeah.
We can do that. And as part of it, in the 162, that section says the board can adopt any orders that are necessary for the safety of the people. We're going to have to say vacate.
That's true.
That will be. 250 and vacate.
And just one other word of note, as Dr. Franklin brought up, the code workshop, Neil was there also. We are going to start, and we didn't have time to talk about it as a staff, about these fines and the caps. So what you heard today was just thought up today. What we'll do at staff now is we will have them come up with a fine that we agree with, a suggestion, and the cap. I think what we'll do now is we'll go in, like, I don't know who had the case, but we'll look at the tax roll and see how much the property value is worth, and probably not exceed that.
75% of the tax
roll. And obviously you guys do what you want to do, but we'll do the homework and we'll offer it up just so you know that's what we'll be doing, and that's
great.
And if I could go fill gap, and maybe Mr. Bannon was going to do it, for those who weren't after the workshop.
Sorry, I missed it.
This is the one with the city council,
right? Right, city council workshop. That's really what
city commission.
Sergeant Bailey's referring to that. One of the things that we did talk about was the thought of capping, and I think I mentioned as well at our workshop that the thought of capping the fines and something that Marie Hartman pointed out as far as with foreclosures, it had a bit more persuasion for the courts to have these fines reasonably related to the value of the property, those types of things, as opposed to $350,000. And it makes a better article instead of $17 million when you know you can't collect anything close to that based on the value of what they're attached to. And so our hope is to have real money that we're, or, and I say money, but real sanctions that have a real effect on the value of the property.
Okay. Mr. Harrington, I attended the city commission's workshop.
And I didn't check the calendar. That's why I missed it, and I had something else going on.
That's about what was covered.
And like this as well, both Mr. Harrington and Ms. Bannon provided great input and well received by the commission. And I think they were well represented with some of the points that we brought out at the workshop, and the feedback I got was that there was as a whole, the workshop was well received.
There's going to be another one. Sheila McKay asked for another one.
Yeah, we have another one, I think, in February.
All right. I have something you guys should have done, too. I enjoyed the workshop that Tony put together. I think that's something that we should possibly do a certain number of times.
It was interesting that the city staff, after we had voted unanimously, and not bring when the people come in for the fixed amount amnesty. If you remember, city staff originally said it was going to be approved by the city manager, and we all unanimously objected.
Right.
And if they came back in to the city commission, that it would be approved by the city manager. And I stood up again and said that we had voted unanimously not to have that. However, if it was a fixed amount, if they applied and it was a fixed amount and there was no leeway for anybody to make any adjustments, then fine, let the city manager do it. But if there was any discretion at all, it should come back to us. And I think they bought that probably.
Yeah.
If it has discretion, it comes back to the people that did it, be it the special magistrate or us. If there is no discretion at all, then the city manager can approve it.
And understand what we're talking about with this models, proposals of ordinances, and the one that we proposed initially was did have some flexibility, and that was really what Mr. Bannon was making a point of at the workshop. The one that we ultimately talked about at the commission workshop was a Leon County ordinance that was a little more
structured
than the one that we had talked.
They haven't decided on which method they're going to use yet. Is it going to be fixed? Is it going to be variable? And that'll be in the next workshop.
Yeah, just
one other item, if I may, before you wrap the gavel.
I'm trying.
3 years ago, we made a pretty strong statement that anybody addressing this board would be uncovered. We wouldn't allow anybody to come in and keep a hat on. I noticed that one gentleman had a hat on. I didn't want to make a point of it at that time, but I remind you that because we've had people come in with baseball hats, and we dress up. We wear a coat and tie, and we look like, and I don't like people appearing before us with a damn hat on, particularly on backwards. An American flag going backwards bothers me.
I just have one comment. I'd just like to thank the members of the board for their confidence in me as chairman. Meeting is adjourned. I have to get to a class at 11:20.
Good job.